Good morning. Good morning. I'm looking to see if there's anybody that's normally here at 8:30 that decided not to change their clock last night and are here now. I don't think so. But what a joy it is to welcome you on this rainy day, but we just need to remember that all sunshine makes a desert. And so these days are necessary that we might experience creation and new life as the flowers and life around us will erupt and shower us with joyful colors. As we come together to worship God, may God's Spirit rain upon us to give us a sense of strength and peace and that holy presence that will guide us during this week and in the days ahead. As we worship together, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Good morning. As you make your way back to your seats, I too offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors that we may have. If you are interested as a visitor for more information about our church, please see any of our ushers, or you may get a welcome packet hanging on the shepherd's crook directly out of the doors of the sanctuary in the narthex. A reminder to please sign the registration sheet. It is in the red folders located at the end of your pew. After you sign it, please pass it to others and bring it back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, please complete the card in that red holder and put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew. The ushers will bring it forward to Reverend Lake. I will highlight a few announcements because we have a lot, not only in the bulletin, but also folks that I will be calling up to the lectern. A reminder that today is the last day to order Easter flowers. Please use the order form that is found in the bulletin. There are forms also on a table in the narthex. Flowers are $8, and you will be able to take them with you after our worship service on Easter Sunday. Also, a thank you from the Finance Committee to those that ordered Easter candy. The candy will be available for pickup next Sunday. And a United Methodist men message. Men of all ages are invited to a new monthly meeting that the United Methodist men under President Mike has started. This is the second month that the men are meeting. This month it will be on Wednesday, March 16th at 7 p.m. So if you do have any questions about this, we're so proud of our Methodist men, but we usually think of them as painting and spackling and doing all of the errands in the church. But this is a new endeavor. So if you have any questions, Mike, you want to raise your hand, you can see Mike after worship. At this time, I would ask Diane Renser to come to the lectern.
Good morning. Just a reminder for Living Last Supper, there are still pocket posters and posters on the table in the narthex. There is one lone yard sign left, and we found one more set of legs that are out there right as you come up the door from the parking lot. So please, somebody take it and help us to advertise Living Last Supper. Speaking of which, we need cookies for Tuesday night. If you are able to make cookies, you may bring them in next Sunday, or you may also bring them in up to performance time on Tuesday night. Now for after Easter, since everybody was celebrating St. Patrick's Day this weekend, I decided to wear this hat. The Sunday after Easter is Holy Humor Sunday, and we will be celebrating the joyous Easter season. We're still going to have Holy Humor Hat Day. You may or may not wish to wear it during the worship service, but there will be a lunch after this service for everyone in all three of our services to please come and bring a dish to pass. It can be real food, okay, not just like fake food, but you need to have a Holy Humor name to it. So we'll have some little place cards you can put your name on. We ask that you bring a dish to pass, and we will have the utensils and the plates for you. Come and bring all your friends, and let's celebrate.
Thank you, Diane. Now, Laurie and Don will be talking about Camp Sunday.
It's hard to believe it is Camp Sunday, and we'll be soon registering for one of our three camps. As you know, we have Wesley Woods, Camp Allegheny, and Jamoineville. Just a show of hands, how many of you have been to any of our three camps, either as a camper, counselor, dean? Okay, good many. That's great. That's really good. As you know, then, I won't get into detail on a lot of these camps. Wesley Woods is probably the one that is furthest out there, located in Grand Valley, PA, between Titusville and Youngsville. It is the most rustic of the three camps. They offer camps throughout the year, so that's a good thing if you ever want to go there. They have three new camps that they're offering this year at Wesley Woods. One is called Journey Camp, one is called Sampler Camp, and one is called Adrenaline Adventure Camp. And that last one sounds like a real fast-paced kind of camp. They focus on overcoming your fears. So this is where your parents pray for you the whole time you're at that camp. Okay, Camp Allegheny is located near Somerset, PA. It's straight up Route 30. And like Wesley Woods, it is somewhat rustic, and it's known for its different horse camps. They also have a small petting zoo with pigs, goats, sheep, and donkeys. So if you're an animal lover, you might enjoy going to that camp. I was told that their food there is awesome, that they have a baker that arrives early to prepare homemade noodles, breads, and cream puffs. So that sounds pretty good, too. New this year at Camp Allegheny, there's two new camps. One is called Experience Camp, and one is called H2O Camp. So the H2O Camp is a very wet, wet camp. So you probably need to take extra tennis shoes for that one, and they'll probably take a week or two to dry out once you get home. Jamoineville is our third camp, and it is probably the closest of the three to our church here in Irwin, located on the outskirts of Hopwood, PA, in Uniontown, Connellsville area. And if you've ever traveled out that way, you most likely have seen the giant cross on the mountain. It's not as rustic as the other two, and that is why I am registered at that camp. There's lodges there. There is a Jamoineville Inn that is much like a hotel, so it's really not roughing it. It is wonderful. They host a lot of different retreats at that camp. We have a gal here, Dawn Weber, who is here to talk about the retreat that she went on for the singles camp.
Good morning. Last Labor Day, I went on a singles retreat, which I didn't know what to expect because I don't normally do that. But I went up there for the week from Friday to Monday, and the topic was single but not alone, and they'll have a new topic of a family of one this year, which I'll be going to. But I learned how to hula dance. I learned how to square dance. I went to many sessions on how I'm not alone because God is with me, even though I don't have a significant other right now. And it was just a lot of fun. I met a lot of people that were in my situation or in something similar. And the age range is big. And I believe I said that only 30 were there, but I realized that there was more than 30. Okay. Probably about 60 people were there, and people were coming up from Florida and Maryland and everything for this camp. It's a lot of fun. So, come.
That's interesting, too, because Dawn told me that they get together through the year. Like, once camp is over, they exchange emails and addresses, and they kind of meet up, you know, and have coffee and whatever, like, throughout the year. So that's great. That particular camp is not featured in our brochure for Jamonville. You kind of have to go on the website for that because it's so late in the year. It's Labor Day weekend. So if you know of any singles that might want to go to that, make sure you pass that along. As far as new camps at Jamonville, they have a million different camps. I mean, every sport you can imagine, it's probably the one camp that offers the most different camps. But this is not new this year, but a grant was given to Jamonville to add a 10-station fit trail around the Green Cathedral area. So this is something designed for people of all ages to enjoy for years to come. And also this year, Jamonville is celebrating its 75th anniversary in August. I think I had a little blurb in the newsletter about that. It's a homecoming weekend being planned, and they would ask any former campers, deans, counselors, anyone that, as well as any couples that met there or were married there, to attend that anniversary. As far as cost goes, all the camps have gone up, all three camps. The cost has increased like everything else. But in our three United Methodist camps in Western PA, no camper is ever turned away because they can't afford the cost of church camp. So I want everyone to know that. Some money's come from local churches. Our church is now giving 40% of the total costs instead of 30%. Some ways that our campership funding is replenished is we have special offerings. Like today, our cup ministry from the children is going specifically to church campership. Also, we have offerings throughout the year. Sometimes people on their envelope will designate that they want some of their monies to go to campership funding. Also, the clothing bin that's out there. I mean, that has been great. We started that probably midway through 2014. And we raised $536 from donations from that bin. And throughout 2015, we raised $1,169 just from donations from that clothing bin. So keep the clothes coming. It's kind of like free money, and they send a check directly to our church. So that helps with that. Also, some money's come from each of the three camps. They have what's called a Kids to Camp Fund. And these monies are donations from churches as well as campers. So the monies are at those camps. And if you need to apply for that, you just call that camp and fill out an application. And they make sure that, you know, that your voice is heard. Additional monies come from our scholarship monies. We also have another fund set aside that is additional monies. If people need to seek extra money, they can contact Debbie, our financial secretary, and fill out the form, and Debbie will then send a church check directly to the camp. Summer gift certificates are available. If you go on any of the church camp websites, you as a parent or grandparent or friend can buy a gift certificate for anybody that you know that's camping and give it to them as a birthday gift, Christmas gift, you know, whatever. This is what we do with our grandkids every Christmas. They get a gift certificate as one of their gifts, and they look forward to that time when they can use it. United Methodist women also give. They get a listing of the registrations from our church, and they send a check directly to the camper, and that can be used in the snack shop or wherever. In 2014, our church registered 12 campers, so we paid $1,026 out of our campership funding. In 2015, we registered 15 campers, so $1,375 was taken out of campership funding. 2016 so far, we had a youth retreat just last weekend, and 11 of our youth were able to go to Camp Allegheny, and they were also financially assisted. I will be in the parlor today after the service. There's going to be s'mores, hot chocolate, bugs in the log. All the brochures are back there. So make sure you stop in if you have any questions. Also, I wanted to mention, if any of you have college-age kids or they're looking for jobs, I mean, all of these camps need counselors and deans and whatnot, so you can go to the church the camp website and put an application in for that if they wish to do that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Laurie and Dawn. Lots and lots of information there. So Laurie will be available not only today in the parlor, but just about every Sunday for any information that you still would need. And now Nellie would like to make an introduction for us from Staff Parish.
I have a new youth director who's been on board for a few months, and we'd like to introduce him, Eric Bush, who actually grew up in this church, and his lovely wife, Hannah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. So my name's Eric Bush. This is my wife, Hannah. I started a few months ago, tail end of November, beginning of December. Like was just said, I grew up in this church, so it's good to be back with you all. I studied for the past few years. I recently graduated from Penn State University. I studied communication arts and sciences, just looking at how communication works and how people interact using communication. So this is a cool opportunity to sort of put that to use. Done a lot with public speaking and that kind of stuff. We've been at the church for a few months now. In January, we had the district youth lock-in, which was a lot of fun. It was at Hot Shots Roller Hockey Arena. And so it was just an all-night lock-in, and we finished the night fairly exhausted. So that was a lot of fun. And also, just this past weekend, we've had our district youth retreat. And that was up at Camp Allegheny. That was a really good time. We had 10 youth attend. And it was really nice to finally get a chance to really spend some good quality time with the youth, to get to know them a little bit more personally than we sometimes have time for at a regular 2 o'clock youth group meeting, where sometimes we're so focused on, you know, teaching a lesson and, you know, doing an activity that there's not a whole lot of time for just sort of hanging around and getting to know each other. So that was definitely good, and we're definitely looking forward to that in the future. And I'm going to hand the mic over to Hannah so she can introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Hannah. I'm Eric's wife. I'm really excited to be here with you guys. This has been a really great opportunity thus far. We've really enjoyed getting to work with the kids. They're absolutely phenomenal, and we're really getting to know them and enjoy spending time with them. Eric's doing a series right now on Is Blank a Sin? And it's been really great, because what we did at first was we had them come up with things that they wanted to know about, and they wanted to know what the Bible said about that. And so it's been really good to get to go through that with them and really dig into what does the Bible say. So it's been really good. We're really enjoying getting to spend time with the youth of this church, and thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, so like Hannah said, that, you know, the series, it's been sort of very representative of what it's been like to work with the youth as a whole so far. Like Hannah said, they're great kids, they're asking real questions, which is very exciting and encouraging. They really want to know what the Bible says, and they want real answers that have to do with their life. They don't want just sort of a cookie-cutter Christianity. They want real answers that are really applicable. So it's really exciting to teach them about Christ and how it really applies to all the real issues going on in the life of a middle schooler, high schooler. So if you've never been to youth group, or if you know of a youth who would be interested in coming, tonight's meeting is from 5:30 to 7:30, unlike usual, which is at 2 o'clock. So there's a time change tonight. It's not reflected in the bulletin, but tonight will be from 5:30 to 7:30. And then usually we have youth from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So we hope to see you there. And if you have any questions about any of this, Hannah and I would be happy to talk to you about it. So thank you.
Eric and Hannah. And our final announcement from the lectern this morning is a message from an announcement from Chris Greist, who represents our staff parish.
Good morning. I have two things. I'll try to make them as brief as I possibly can. First thing is that as a United Methodist Church, as part of the United Methodist heritage, we believe and support the itinerant system, which means that every year, every pastor is eligible to be moved. Sometimes we get lucky and we keep them longer for a year than a year. Sometimes even longer than that. But every year, every United Methodist pastor has the potential of being moved. The cabinet is who decides that. It's not an SPRC or a church that decides that. A cabinet decides that. They go through eligible names, and if someone fits with a need somewhere along the way, and that pastor is able to move. A few weeks ago, we were all shocked when Dave made the announcement that he was being moved. Unfortunately, Waynesburg had a pastor that was retiring, and they needed someone to take his place in a college town. When the cabinet went through the list, Dave's name came up on it as being the perfect fit for that church. Unfortunately, once the cabinet makes a decision to move someone, we don't have much of a say. SPRC doesn't have much of a say. The congregation doesn't have much of a say, unless there's something major that should prevent that, such as maybe a child still being in school in the local area, or just, you know, Dave started something that no one else could possibly finish at that particular point in time. So unfortunately, we got informed that Dave was being moved. Shortly after that, we met with the superintendent, the district superintendent, and talked about his replacement. Who should that replacement be? And the SPRC committee was really adamant about it should be Dave. And we were told, well, you can't have Dave, so what do you want? I said, well, we want someone like Dave. And she said, well, that's going to be a tall order. It may take us months to find someone that'll fit that. Beginning of last week, the superintendent asked Dave Weir, the chair of the SPRC committee, to call a meeting for Friday because she had someone for us to meet. And this past Friday, we met with Pastor Bruce Judy and his wife, Bonnie. We met and we were surprised because walking into that, we were still in that mindset that we're not going to be happy unless it's Dave, unless those things keep moving on that Dave started. And within about 15 minutes, we had all warmed up to Pastor Judy. Now, Pastor Judy comes from the Carmichael's United Methodist Church in the Washington County area. But he grew up, he was born and grew up in Portview area. He worked in the mills. He was called into ministry at the age of 35. I don't remember if I said, but he's 60 years old. He doesn't look it. He's very young looking like Dave. Probably has about a little less hair than Dave, but very nice gentleman. And as he talked about what he was interested in and what he liked about what we were telling him about the church and the ministries that we have going on and the things that Dave had done, he was very much a good fit. He's into outreach. He's into empowering the congregation and the lay people for ministry. He's not a CEO-type pastor that sits and gives orders and says that this is the way it is and the way that you're going to do things. He loves meeting and building relationships with people. He believes that the church is not this building and what is contained within these four walls. The church is you and the community outside of these walls, and he believes in building that relationship and that outreach with the community. I think, in my personal opinion, that since I can't get a copy of Dave and cloning is so far off, that Pastor Judy is an extremely good fit. And I believe that the committee feels the same way. I think a lot of our fears and concerns were allayed in that meeting with Pastor Bruce on Friday night. I took him for a little tour of the church, and I didn't want to stop talking to him. So I am sorry that he got to your place late. It was my fault. I held him up. But as of July 1st, our new pastor will be Pastor Bruce Judy, and he will be here at that time. Thank you.
No more announcements. You can now open your hearts and minds as we prepare for our worship this morning.
I am James, the son of Zebedee. I remember the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ said, "Come with me and pray." And we did. Peter, James, and John, Thomas, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon the Zealot, Thaddeus, and me. Only one of the 12 of us was missing. Judas. Judas Iscariot. I remember that in the growing darkness beneath the gnarled olive trees, Christ knelt and poured his heart out to his Father. "If it is your will, Father, please take this cup from me." And we slept. Jesus continued to pray, "If it is not possible for this cup to be taken from me unless I drink from it, then your will be done." And still we slept. "Not my will, but your will, O God." We continued to sleep. He said to us, "For the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. My soul aches with sorrow." We said, "Lord, we are here for you." He asked us, "Stay with me a while." When we answered, "Lord, you know we will," I think he was irritated with us. He said, "Can you not stay awake long enough to keep watch with me?" We started to protest, "But Lord," but then he said, "Behold, the hour is at hand. Here's my betrayer now." "Lord, we acknowledge the times that we have failed you, just as the disciples did so long ago in the garden. As these flames are taken away from these candles, so remove our sins from us. We remember your pain as we snuff yet more of your light."
I would ask that you please rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. The days ahead are dark and full of foreboding.
We watch Jesus' journey to the cross.
There is no way to change what is to come.
Yet death is not the final word.
Let us bear witness to God's new life moving within and among us.
God is doing a new thing. Let us rejoice with your hands.
Please remain standing and join me in our opening prayer as printed in your bulletin. Holy Sustainer, you were ever in and with Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem. Guide his choices and strengthen his courage each step of the way. As your beloved children, be with us and strengthen us on our journeys. Through our time of worship and our companionship with one another, teach us to recognize Christ in everyone we meet. Help us offer holy hospitality wherever it is needed, and free us from our fears of scarcity, that we may share from our abundance and be a blessing for others. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 57, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues We Sing."
Thank you. There you go.
That you have it counted off on your calendar. Sometimes you take an X and you go over all the days leading up to the event. You ever do that? Well, guess what? 147 more days, and I'll be going to Grandma and me camp. That's all, 147. I got them counted out. So anyway, I was going to talk to you guys about camp. Have any of you gone camping? You're kind of young, but have gone to family camp or Girl Scout camp, Boy Scout, Cub Scout camp? Hannah, you've been camping, huh? Okay. So you know how much fun it is at camp. You sleep out in tents sometimes. You sleep in cabins. You go on hikes. You do all kind of fun stuff. Well, I brought a couple things from Grandma and me camp, because some of the things we do at Grandma camp, some of the kids like to do the pool and free time and swimming and the s'mores and all that, but I especially like the crafts. We used to make all kind of neat crafts, and the best part about the crafts were they had a little story with every one of the crafts. So one of the crafts they did, all the kids got to make a laundry bag. And a laundry bag, it kind of looked similar to a sleeping, like a pillowcase, but it had a drawstring at the top, and the kids got to paint all over it. And the idea behind the laundry bag, obviously, was to put all your dirty laundry in there for the week. But the story behind it was that we are all like dirty laundry, and that God can wash us clean. All of our sins, He can wash our sins and make us clean again, just like dirty laundry. My kids used to have a laundry bag when they went to college, and it said on it, "Mom, I'm home." So when they walked in the door, I knew to start the washing machine. So the other craft that we did, which was kind of cool, they gave each of the kids 10 pennies. And they said, you know, when you get grown up and you have a job, you'll be getting a paycheck. But this was just an illustration. They gave each kid 10 pennies, and they said, you know, of those 10 pennies, God only wants you to give one of those pennies to Him, one-tenth of what you make. If you made 10 cents, He only wants you to give one-tenth. So you get, and this one little boy said, you mean I get to keep the other 9 pennies for me? And that's how it works. So with the other 9 pennies, they made a cross. So that was kind of a good story there. The other thing they made was a little sun catcher. And the idea behind this was they were talking about all the colors in the rainbow, and they had all the different colored paints out there, and you could kind of design whatever you wanted on your sun catcher. But they were talking about the rainbow and how God promised us that He would never flood the earth again. So some of the kids did rainbows, some of them did, this was Ireland's, and she did a sunflower with Jesus. So she has that hanging in her bedroom window. So you do all kind of neat stuff at camp. So when you go to camp, you know, or you go anywhere really on any activity, you know that people are praying for you, and people are hoping that you get home safe and that you have a good time and all that. So this is kind of a neat prayer that I found, and it's called Your Parents' Prayer for Summer Camp. So this might be a prayer that your parents or grandparents would be saying if you went to camp. Okay, here's how it goes, if you want to bow your head. Dear God, as you head off to church camp, may you grow in Christ. May the mosquitoes be guided away from you, and may the raindrops not fall heavily into your tent. May the food be delicious, and may you try new things, like vegetables. May you never lose your socks, and may you shower and brush your teeth daily. May you not fall off the top bunk, and may you not lose your way in the night to the outdoor bathroom. May you create lifelong friendships, and may you return home in one piece with all of your belongings, and you ever yearn to return to church camp next year. Thank you, Lord, for this experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I hope that you can all go to camp. I know some of you aren't quite 5 yet. That's when the youngest one starts. I think Grandma and Me camp is 5 years of age. And it's Grandma and Me or Parent and Me, Mommy and Daddy and Me. So our cup ministry today goes to church campership. So if you will each, okay. Thank you.
Driven
Thank you, Diane and choir. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. Hear these words. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. And here ends the reading from Isaiah's word. And at this time, I would ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Gracious God, we rejoice in your tender care for us when we are in the wilderness of life. When we face difficulties, you lead us to the living water of Christ to refresh and sustain us. Accept these gifts now as we dedicate them in Jesus' name. All of this we ask. Amen.
Please be seated. We come to the time in the service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you turn in your worship folder, it's actually the first white sheet. You will see some joys and concerns there. We want to express our sympathy to Susan, passing of her mom this past week. You can see the information there. And also, there are some flowers on the altar because some young lady is having a birthday. When is the birthday, June? next Saturday. And I know you're not supposed to ask a lady how old she is. How many are you going to be? Do you have to tell? Well, I'll start guessing. You're going to be 90? 91. 91 years old on Saturday. I hope and pray I do as well as you at 90, if I get that far. So congratulations. If you turn over on the back page of our worship folder, some additions to be made there as well. Continue to remember Eric and Hannah. Pray for them as well as the youth of our church. As it was mentioned, the new pastor coming in behind me, Bruce and Bonnie, Judy, remember them as well. Also, under continuous prayer on the third line, Dawn and Jerry, I received word that Jerry has passed. And her services are going to be private tomorrow morning. And I will be conducting those, so continue to remember them in your prayers. A multitude of events around the world and in our lives that we cannot always make public, but let's remember those as well. So let us continue our service now with the uniting of our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. In our prayer hymn this morning, number 172, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Gracious and loving God, as we come together this day, the words are upon our lips. My Jesus, I love thee. We are mindful today, O God, that your Son, Jesus Christ, continued his journey straight to the cross. Going into Jerusalem knowing that there was tension and turmoil, and yet he boldly walked into the city gates. Oh God, we know that your presence is upon us and we are never alone. And we know that this one that we love journeys with us during this season of Lent and this week of Holy Week that is fast approaching. Oh God, we pray that in our daily lives and living, that our lives might share our love for you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Oh God, you call us to go forth from this place into the world, to live and move, to act and to be your church and your disciples, to make the scriptures come alive in our daily lives and living. Oh God, continue to bless us and empower us that we might be your faithful servants in and to the world. We come today mindful of situations that need to be lifted up in prayer. The names of individuals in our bulletin, in our prayer list, the situations that we have voiced. Oh God, we especially lift up Bruce and Bonnie Judy. We celebrate their lives today, and we know that they are announcing today to their church that they are leaving. And we, oh God, know what that feels like. And so we pray for the workings of your Spirit, to the surrounding of individuals with your grace. We pray, oh God, that as doors are closed, that new ones are opened. And we pray for the possibilities of new life and ministry that are before us. We pray, oh God, for this church and for the individuals here this day, for each mission and ministry that is represented. Strengthen us, bless us, use us, oh God. For we know that you call us to take these ministries out into the world, forth from these walls, into those who need to experience and to respond and to hear your good news. Oh God, we pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Every once in a while, on the Thursday evening of the Disciple Bible Study, if you've ever taken that, you know that occasionally when the scripture reference is upon us, that I hand out a sheet of paper, and across the top it's got sight, sound, touch, taste, hearing. And as the words of Scripture are read, as quickly as you're experiencing those senses, you write them down. So today there's a passage of Scripture about Mary coming to Jesus with a pound of costly nard perfume, and it filled the whole room with its smell. I was tempted this week to go to Macy's and say, what's your most expensive perfume? I'd like 200 samples. But I didn't think they'd do that. And so I went and found some incense. That's what you're smelling. The church is not on fire. And I had my choice between the cheap incense and the expensive incense. I opted not for the cheap. So I bought 20 sticks of, well, I bought lavender and I bought sandalwood and I bought jasmine and I bought black cherry. I figured lavender might be the most, least irritating as far as incenses go. Are you going to make it? I know. But I opted for the more expensive one, so I got 20 sticks for $2 instead of 98 cents. Now, some of you might be having flashbacks to the 1960s when you maybe burned incense to cover up other scents that were... How's come you're all giggling and laughing? Some of you know, my parents allowed us to burn incense, but we had those little cone-shaped ones of maybe cheap pine, and I steered away from those. And you might be lucky up there, although at first service I did light one up there. So do you smell it up there in the balcony? Okay, yeah. And you probably smelled it when you came in. I probably really didn't even need to light these, but we did. I did. So here's our scripture reading from John this morning. If you are able, I would invite you to stand with me either physically or spiritually. John writes these words from chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the house of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those who was at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his 12 disciples, the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He was not concerned because of the poor, but because he was a thief and he kept the common purse and he used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with me, but you do not always have me." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words in John and for their teaching and claim upon our lives. Guide and direct us now, O God, in these moments that we share together. Give us a sense of rest and peace and comfort from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen. So there's a story about a minister that later on in the week after services were done, he was in the church office getting ready to do a hospital visit, and Sunday's flowers happened to be sitting on the desk of the secretary, and he scooped those flowers up and took them on the visit to the hospital with him. Now, it happened to be a planter of live tulips that were blooming. And as he walked into the room, the woman that he was visiting, she lit up because tulips were her favorite flowers. And he didn't realize that. She said to him she loved tulips because they were one of the first flowers in spring, and they reminded her of spring and the hope and the promise of new life that was contained in that bulb. A couple days later, she passed. And when the pastor was getting together with her family to plan the service, this woman's daughter said to the pastor, "You will never know the importance of those flowers, those tulips, Mom's favorite that you brought to her just a couple days ago." She said, "Matter of fact, Mom made me promise that I would transplant those tulips on her grave."
And went on to say, who would know that a simple act would have such deep meaning? Well, that's really what's taking place in this morning's scripture. Mary is grateful for what Jesus has done in her life. She's grateful for the grace and forgiveness that's been proclaimed, and she is grateful that Jesus called forth her brother Lazarus from the grave. And she wanted to say thanks. I'll put him out. So in a way to say thanks, she had bought this costly perfume. And as she came and rubbed it on Jesus' feet and then took her hair and continued to remove that scent and that balm, that nard, that oil. Well, there was some controversy. Well, you know, that could have been used for something else. Jesus says, yes, it could have been, but hold on. Because Jesus knew that within a few short weeks that his life was going to come to an end. And he knew that she was anointing his body for its death, its sacrifice upon the cross. We know later on in the stories, in the scriptures, that when Jesus' body was taken down off the cross, some men took that body and layered it in spices and then wrapped it as it was placed in the tomb. But that's how it was done in Jesus' day and his time. Mary didn't realize the anointing, the prophetic act of thankfulness that was taking place through her actions that day at that meal. A gentleman writes a story. His name's up there, but I figured I'd come down here. His name's Michael in the character in the story, and Michael would always take his family on the weekend to either a movie or a sporting event. And then they would come home, and in the wintertime, they'd light a fire in the fireplace, and they'd have popcorn together before they went to bed. A nice family time to end that evening. Well, Billy was just a little uncooperative on the way home. Billy just got into trouble. You two never do that, do you? Do you ever get into trouble? Sometimes. Did you ever get sent to your room? I've had that happen before when I was your age. Go to your room. Okay. I know. I've been down that road before. Sent our kids to their rooms a few times. And so when Mom and Dad and Billy and his brothers and sisters got home, Billy had to go straight to his bedroom while the popcorn was popped and the fire was built and the rest of the family gathered there to wind down the evening. Michael, the dad, went to the room to check on Billy. And as they carried on a little bit of a conversation, the dad, Michael, said, I'll tell you what, Billy, you go out and be with the rest of the family. I'll stay here and take your punishment. And the family that night experienced the real presence of Christ in knowing that that's exactly what Christ did for them and does for us. So the question is this morning, what are you thankful for that Christ has done for you? And how are you willing to respond in thankfulness for what Christ has done for you? The cross is fast approaching, and we will celebrate the gift of life and love that comes through Jesus Christ, the grace and forgiveness that is offered to us through the cross. What are you thankful for that Christ has done? And what are you willing to do and to give? Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are forever indebted to you for the gift of the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Oh God, we pray that you will continue to shape us and mold us, working your wonders within our lives, to be your faithful servants, to be those who are grateful for what Christ has done, to live, share, and proclaim his good news to the world. For we pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together. Gracious and loving God, take our lives, our daily living, bless them and anoint them that we might always be about you, about the grace, the love, the forgiveness that you shower upon us every day. Oh God, with a sense of joy and celebration upon our hearts, our minds, our spirits, upon our faces, may we go into the world and to be your church and to be about the work of your kingdom. For we go in the name of the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Amen.